Hi, everyone. I'm Emily Crow, multimedia editor at Progressive Grocer. Welcome to Top Women in Grocery, a podcast focused on the trends, topics, and interests that move women forward in grocery retail. We're spotlighting extraordinary women in the grocery industry who have had successful careers and interesting lives, and who are also making a positive impact in their workplaces and in their communities. I'm here today with Lisa Mabe, an award-winning communications expert, consultant, and thought leader in the food and beverage and retail industries. She's the CEO of Green Purse. She has more than 18 years of experience leading marketing communications, public relations, and market research programs for leading companies around the world. Since 2014, Lisa has been running her consultancy, Green Purse, which focuses on exploring shopper behavior through qualitative research, such as shop-alongs and in-home ethnography studies. Lisa and I have been working together on and off for many, many years, as we just discussed, and she's a wealth of knowledge about the industry. We're here today to discuss her career journey, today's female consumers, Lisa's foray into USA market tours, and much more. Lisa, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hey, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, to start, I'm hoping you can tell us a bit about your career progression and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, so I've had my business, Green Purse, for a little over 14 years now, since 2010. And prior to starting that, I did work with two larger communications agencies, Mullen Lowe, which is a leading advertising and creative agency, mm-hmm. and also Burson Marsteller, which is a leading communications agency. It's now called BCW. But grocery retail has been a big part of my career, even from the very beginning. One of my very first clients was actually Food Lion from Delhaize. And upon founding my company, retailers like Whole Foods Market and other similar stores have been a really big part of my work, especially when it comes to, I've done a lot of work in integrity programs, the labels that you see on products for higher attributes like animal welfare through Global Animal Partnership or regeneratively sourced through seals like Land to Market. And I tend to work closely with brands that are sold at grocery retailers like Whole Foods, such as Saffron Road and Atkins Ranch Lamb. And also studying consumer behavior, specifically how people shop at grocery retail, has been an ongoing project for me. And it's something that I love the most. Like, that's my most favorite thing about my work, is getting out in the world and identifying how consumers and shoppers behave, why they buy certain things, certain brands over others, and then also how they incorporate it into their home life. And at Green Purse, I've carved out a niche of qualitative research, primarily the shop-alongs that you mentioned. So literally just shopping alongside men and women inside of grocery stores. I'll typically give them a mission, whether it's like your weekly grocery shop or you're going to shop for a party that you're hosting, maybe for a holiday, for example, and then identifying what gets in their shopping cart and why. And then similarly, going inside of people's homes, doing what are called in-home ethnographies. It's basically an interview inside of people's homes, opening up their refrigerators, their freezers, and then sometimes even on the fashion side of things, their closets, but primarily food and beverage, and very focused on grocery retail to identify how people learn about, shop for, and use products.
That's really interesting. So I'm kind of curious, I'm sure it differs day to day, week to week, but what does a typical work day look like for you? What are you doing? What are you exploring? Who are you talking to?
Oh, it's literally the same every day. I'm just kidding. No, it's super fun. I am at the computer a good bit of the time, but not all the time. I am fortunate to get out in the world and travel quite a bit through my research work. That includes me to be in person at various places all across the country and sometimes across the world, going to conferences and events, speaking at some events as well, supporting clients at their events. But, you know, I have the research side of my business, and I also have the communication side of my business. Right. So they are typically separate. For on a weekly basis with research, let's start with communications. Yeah. On a weekly basis with some of the comms work I'm doing, I tend to work with companies on a long-term retainer basis or sometimes shorter-term projects. But for example, through my work with Land to Market, I manage a lot of their global communications. That's a pretty constant sort of thing, writing news releases, responding to journalists, pitching journalists with ideas, writing newsletters, working with videographers to create videos, working with grocery retailers on collaborations, in-store education, shopper marketing for their verification seal, and then also a good bit of online events and webinars for their member brands. And then my biggest project with Lanza Market is their annual conference, which is an on-farm event that switches around from farm to farm that are in their verified regenerative program. And that's one of my most fun things with them
too. Yeah, sounds very cool.
Yeah. But for the research side of the work, on a daily or weekly basis, I'm either likely to be planning a current project or pitching my next one. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but through my new project, USA Market Tours, that's a project that I'm doing primarily timing it around major trade shows so that folks, especially companies from abroad, would already be coming somewhere anyway, like the Summer Fancy Food Show in New York City. People will be coming there already. So while you're there, you can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, and also visit a whole bunch of retail stores while you're there and get a sense of the lay of the land locally.
Wonderful. Well, speaking of those services that you offer to your clients, they've changed and expanded over the years. How has that evolution come about and sort of your interest in, you know, focusing on different things within your career?
Right. So I love to focus on what I'm best at and what I enjoy the most. If you're really good at something, odds are you're going to enjoy it too and get a lot of fulfillment from it. So, you know, research and communications are very broad sorts of things. So I love to narrow in on the things that I believe I'm best at and just do those for the most part if I can. But certainly my business is evolving as market needs change and as my own interest and areas of expertise tend to evolve. So for example, when I first started my company 14 years ago, it was almost exclusively focused on social media marketing for food brands. Mm-hmm. And I just don't enjoy that, to be honest. It's quite as much as I used to. I still love social media, and I do believe it's extremely important, but it has evolved into more of a content storytelling machine and also advertising machine, like with the likes of TikTok, et cetera. Right. And it's just not something that I'm super interested in anymore. My work does still touch that or offer guidance around what sort of storytelling will we be doing, but I'm not typically the one executing it on a regular basis. But research is the thing that I've had my whole entire career starting from the very beginning. And it's something that I've leaned into a lot more heavily. I've always done consumer insights work. Mm-hmm. Even my very first job included consumer insights work and focusing on marketing to women and understanding how they shop, given that women are oftentimes the chief purchasing officer of a household in most product categories. But with research, I've decided in the last few years to lean further into that and hence launching USA Market Tours to not only just focus on consumer insights and how people shop, but helping companies, especially those from abroad who are not as familiar with the American marketplace, get super familiar with our different retail channels and understanding either if they're going to do business here, where they might fit in best. But then sometimes, like, as you know, that first tour that I did just a couple weeks ago with the European retail chain that we also worked together on, mm-hmm. with Progressive Grocer to do a trade informational interview. Mm-hmm. They were not going to do business here in the United States. They just simply wanted to check in and see what's trending in the United States market in relation to retail, technology, consumer behavior, and that sort of thing.
Wonderful. Well, as you mentioned before, you've focused a lot on women and their shopping preferences throughout your career. I know it's something we've talked about in the past, and I find it extremely interesting being a woman and a mother who shops, and I am the chief purchasing officer at my home as well, that's for sure. Why has that been important to you, first of all? And then I'm hoping you can talk a little bit about today's grocery landscape in terms of what female consumers want.
Right. Well, I've studied both male and female shopper behavior. And oftentimes, and I've worked so much with agriculture and agri-food, meat, wine, honey, these sorts of things, a lot of meat in the last several years. So a lot of times men are a big purchasing officer, if you will, of those sorts of categories. So I do a lot of research with men as well. But it just so happens that on average, around 70% of all grocery shopping decisions are made by women in the United States. So it differs from category to category. But for the most part, they're a very important consumer base. Everyone's an important consumer base. And I like to research a little bit of everybody just to have a wide diversity of insights for folks. But if you can drill down and know exactly who your consumer is, that's super helpful
and
more relevant so that you can communicate effectively to that audience group. But focusing on marketing to women has been a focus my entire career to some extent. And when it comes to products that are sold at grocery retail, that is a super important audience to understand. And I especially love really digging into new mothers and new parents overall, so including fathers as well. But that there's certain key life phases, and becoming a parent is one of them, where you can oftentimes dramatically change your shopping behavior. So let's say, for example, you know, conventional products versus natural products, and there's a mix of the two in most people's households. Sometimes mothers and also fathers will become particularly interested in going a little bit more natural sometimes when they're thinking about what's going in. Like for me, like as a mother, when I first became a mother or was pregnant, I was thinking what's going in my body and thinking about that way more than I normally would, and opting for things like organic as often as possible. And similarly, once you have your child and understanding how important what you put in their body, their, you know, pure little body that has no exposure to any toxins at this point, hopefully, you're just extra aware and extra zealous. And I find that's a really, really important time to reach people, because if you can reach especially new mothers at that new mother stage, then you can potentially keep them as a consumer for a lifetime.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So is there anything else you can kind of share about what female consumers are looking for right now? What are the trends? What are you seeing as important to those shoppers?
So a big thing that we saw since the height of the pandemic age, if you will, was online shopping and click and collect. That continues to be something that I hear a lot of women telling me, and specifically mothers. I see this even actually myself, just at my local grocery store where I shop. You'll see people who are even in a different phase of their child's life. So, you know, when they're little and tiny, sometimes it's more problematic or challenging to get physically into the grocery store, depending on everyone's schedule and what moods are. But even sometimes older children who are perfectly capable of walking in and out of the store, you may just not want to disturb them if they're in a mood. And I see a lot of mothers, for example, in my neighborhood, including myself sometimes, which sounds really lazy because I literally live a 5-minute walk from a Giant and a Whole Foods Market, close to a Trader Joe's as well. But sometimes I will even do purchase online, have it ready to go, and then I, you know, go on my app and then they just pop it into the trunk of your car.
Yeah. I mean, it's a time thing. I understand that totally.
Yeah. It makes a huge difference. And I mean, anything that's helping moms and women in general with convenience is super helpful.
Great. Well, as you mentioned before, you recently launched USA Market Tours as part of your business. What can you tell us about why you started the tours and what they offer to clients?
So I've worked with a lot of companies from abroad for several years. I used to be based in Sydney, Australia. Okay. This was about 9 years ago now, but I lived there for a couple of years and got very focused on businesses from that side of the world. So Australia, New Zealand, parts of Asia. And as a result of working with so many companies from abroad, I was seeing that they were already coming to the United States. They oftentimes look at the USA as a market to kind of look up to. We do have a lot of innovation and trends, things that maybe other pockets around the world do not necessarily have, or maybe we're the first oftentimes to do them. So they love to come here on kind of a fam trip, if you will, to just get familiar with the United States market. Oftentimes they may already be doing business here anyway, so they needed to come for something else too, to visit customers, and that's when they come to trade shows. But I saw that they were doing these unstructured visits to the United States market and could really benefit from having a more structured situation. So for example, I've already just launched USA Market Tours at the beginning of this year, 2024, and I've already had my first project with a European retail group. They brought over their executives as well as their board of directors. There was about 10 of us that toured Oh, goodness. We toured, it was 30, no, I'm sorry, 20 stores.
I was going to say, you guys were all over the place.
Yeah, it was a lot. That was by far the most intense from a timing perspective and logistics.
I'm sure. So
far. Usually it's been, you know, anywhere from 1, 2, or 3 days, and we kind of take it slow, depending on where you're going geographically in a city or a region. You just got to allow enough time to get from point A to point B. You might do 5 stores a day, but we started extremely early, like at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and went till 8 or 9 at night. So we were able to cover a lot of bases. But I, you know, when people are coming from, in many cases, the other side of the world, I want them to really get the experience they're after. And if they want to see, you know, not only Walmart and Target, but Publix and Wegmans and Trader Joe's and, you know, specialty independent stores as well, I want to try to hit them all if we possibly could.
Yeah. Ones
as we were driving down the road in our chauffeur vehicle, like, oh no, there's another Trader Joe's, maybe we should go. And so we had a lot of those kind of last minute things, which logistically changes the whole day. So I was constantly on my iPad changing things as we were going along. But yeah, it's a really interesting thing to do. I find that, you know, having someone like myself who knows the culture, knows the markets pretty well. And even though I'm based here in Washington, D.C. and know this region probably best, I, you know, am all over the place all the time. So, you know, there's no reason why I can't lead tours and have done so in places like San Francisco, New York, Atlanta, Miami, Las Vegas. So wherever it makes sense for whether it's a retailer or a brand, wherever their geographic focus is. Or let's say if they're not doing business in the United States directly, like this retail group from Europe, they don't have stores here, but they know who their type of shopper is. Yeah. If there's something that's a little more comparable, is it more of an East Coast sort of culture and vibe, or is it more West Coast or something in between? We selected Washington, D.C., and D.C. is pretty amazing in terms, so is New York and other places too, of having a wide diversity of stores. I mean, there are hundreds of grocery retailers here in Washington, D.C. We have such a international group of people that live here and are coming and going because of, you know, this is our capital, of course, and there's lots of businesses and nonprofits and think tanks and universities that are located here that bring a very diverse audience. So we have a lot of ethnic food stores, Middle Eastern, halal, Ethiopian, all sorts of things, as well as the typical, the usual suspects of grocery retailers, such as Giant and Safeway. Mm-hmm. So this is an incredible market in a relatively small space that allows you to not waste a lot of time going from point A to point B and being able to kind of see it all in one little tiny area.
Yeah, I hadn't thought before about how geographically dynamic the Washington, D.C. area is as far as different grocery retailers. There's so much to see.
For sure. I mean, you can be right in the heart of Washington, D.C., and then go across the Potomac River to Alexandria, Virginia, mm-hmm. or parts of Northern Virginia, and it feels like you're in another world. So yeah. It's nice that we have that diversity here. But, and it makes it an ideal market for folks mm-hmm. to come. Plus, I'm already here, so that makes it logistically right. easier. But, yeah, like I said earlier, planning to do a lot of these market tours, they're not just for businesses from abroad. It could be, you know, let's say if you are a business in the West Coast, like a retailer from the West Coast, mm-hmm. United States, and you're already coming to the East Coast for the fancy food show, and you're not seeing New York City's retailers on a regular basis, then it would also be applicable to those sorts of businesses.
Great. It'll be really interesting to see where that heads and where everything goes with that. It sounds very exciting.
It's super fun. And it's really good for me too, just to get out and see all these different grocery stores that you wouldn't know. So I'm working right now on a project with a cheese brand. And so I'm hunting down stores in the New York area that have a particular focus on cheese.
Very cool.
Not just any old cheese counter, but something really, really special, like on par with what you would see at Wegmans, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. Well, to wrap things up, I'm hoping you have some advice that you can share with us for women coming up through the ranks in the grocery retail industry or those looking to take their next step in their career.
Yeah, a few things come to mind. I'll run through them real quickly. One is being constantly curious and wanting to learn. Mm-hmm. Come back to that. Another one is taking the perception or perspective of the shopper or consumer, being a consumer-led business. and then celebrating successes and cheering on other colleagues. So I'll go back to the first one being constantly curious, just fostering a desire in yourself to keep learning. I know I personally enjoy learning as much as I can. And the good news is you can learn from anyone in your career, no matter what level they're at. Mm-hmm. I love thinking that way and thinking that even someone who's brand new into their career can teach you something. I think that's a really fun way to look at it. And even now, I'm looking to experience different things with my work. For example, bringing a company to life through in-person events is something that's newer to my work. I haven't done that a whole lot in the past, as is the topic of regenerative agriculture, which we see a lot. Which, by the way, Happy Earth Month. It's April.
Yes, Happy Earth Month.
Earth Day technically is the 22nd of April.
But we get to celebrate, right?
Yeah, you'll see that a lot. That's one of the things. Actually, I'm working on a fun project right now with natural grocers and one of Lanta Market's member brands called Alex Ice Cream, which is the first verified regenerative ice cream on the market. You'll see a lot of messaging this month, I believe, if folks listen in and look for messaging at their local grocery retailer this month around what that retailer or some of its brands are doing for being more pro-environment for Earth Month, Earth Day, whether it's regenerative agriculture or reducing waste, recycling, these sorts of things. But being constantly curious, I think that's something to focus on in terms of advice for me. And then also being consumer-led or having the perspective of the consumer or shopper. So I find that a lot of retailers and brands tend to assume what consumers want. But until you actually ask, you don't really know. I'm sure you can make some pretty safe assumptions some of the time, but things are always changing. Consumer expectations, consumers' culture, our needs, people's desire to save money, for example, these days, like everything's
especially now
and changing. So there's no substitute for getting out in person and conducting research in the market with your consumers to understand how they think, behave, and buy. And I would caution against making too many assumptions. Even, you know, like if you're a grocery retailer, it doesn't have to be like formal research, like the time that I do, just asking your shoppers as you see them. But you do have to ask it in a certain way so that they don't tell you what they think you want to hear, because that is the easiest mistake to make.
Yeah.
Thirdly, celebrating your successes and also other people's as well. I find we move just a mile a minute these days, and you're doing so much that sometimes you yourself don't even realize, oh, I just accomplished this, or we as a team just accomplished that. And I'm like, before you move on to the next thing, take a moment and just celebrate that and kind of relish the fact that you've done something. There's an outcome, hopefully a measurable outcome that is what you wanted to achieve in the first place. You know, it could be something like a grocery retailer got 100,000 followers on social media, just celebrating that for a moment before moving on to the next thing.
I love that. It feels so important. I think it's something that not enough people do, to actually sit and think, look at that accomplishment. That was really wonderful. I like that a lot.
Right. It doesn't have to be like a formal award ceremony.
Right.
But just even if it's just to yourself, like, look what I did. I did something. And you know how everything's so digital and on our computer? Yeah. It's hard to sometimes wrap your brain around, I did all this stuff today or this week. What did I actually accomplish? But I like to play that back, at least for my own well-being, so that I know I actually accomplished something today and this week.
We're not just ticking boxes. We are humans who are doing things and making headway.
Correct. Yeah. And then lastly, being a cheerleader for your colleagues or people that you know in the industry, whether you work directly with them or not. I tend to do this a lot on LinkedIn. I find that it fuels me. It gives me more energy and motivation. And being a business owner who, it's just me, I'm a team of one, I need all the motivation I can get to going, because you don't have someone sitting beside you constantly to help you keep going. So I love to see people's successes. I don't, you know, mind even if people, like a humble brag, let's say, of they got promoted at work, or they, you know, set up this beautiful end cap that's focusing on Earth Month and highlighting regenerative agriculture, those sorts of things. I love to see that. I love to see people that I know, whether very well or not well at all, that I know of in the industry, in grocery retail and in food and beverage, succeeding. That makes me happy. That gives me fulfillment for them and also motivates everyone, at least in my opinion. So I love to do that. And I also love to cheerlead for other people, congratulate them and give them a little praise just to help them keep going too. Because I know I appreciate that sort of thing. I figure other people do too.
Absolutely. And I feel like even working remotely, it becomes important to sort of cheerlead for other people and to get that back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So all those things are my advice. And then I suppose coffee, lots of coffee.
Lots of caffeine. Wonderful. Well, Lisa, thank you again for being here with us today. This has been wonderful.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. For more information about the Top Women in Grocery podcast, please visit www.progressivegrocer.com/podcasts. You can also subscribe to this series wherever you typically listen to podcasts, including on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Finally, do you have an idea for a Twig podcast topic? I would love to hear from you. Email me at ecrow@ensembleiq.com. See you next time, and thank you so much for listening.